Are you caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Kuecker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Kuecker, your Senior Care Consultant, and I really appreciate you tuning in. And today we have a wonderful program with special guest Mr. David Wiley. He's the President and CEO of Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, and Patty Poor. She's a registered nurse and Director of Clinical Services, again, with Kansas City Hospice. And David and Patty, welcome back to Senior Care Live.
Thank you.
Good to be here, Steve.
All right. And happy belated Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
You too.
Did y'all have all the turkey and all the trimmings and lots of people around and all the good stuff?
Absolutely.
It was a great time and good to be with family.
All right. Well, so today we're kicking off December with, again, two leaders from Kansas City Hospice in Palliative Care. And I'm really excited to hear more about the programs from KC Hospice. And I'm sure that you have some stories that are going to really inspire us. And it is that time of year, isn't it? I mean, we were just talking about, you know, we have cold, we have snow, and that seems to be a little more of a festive environment, I guess, for it all.
You know, you're right, Steve. It is. It's really a wonderful time of year, and we are here to talk about many of our programs that really make Kansas City Hospice special and unique here in our great city. And on top of that, we want to share some stories, as you mentioned, about the folks who've been touched by these programs, because, you know, really that's what it's all about, our patients and our families. You know, we help people all over the Kansas City area who are facing serious illness or grieving the loss of a loved one. And Patty, who's here with me today, she and her clinical team, they're the very best at what they do. And they help so many people such at a very sacred time of their lives. So we're honored to get to know, you know, so many families here in Kansas City.
All right. And with that background, I'd like to welcome our second guest again, Patty Poor. And Patty, thanks for being here. And tell us about Patty and what you do.
Sure. I've been with Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care for 28 years. I started as a nurse case manager, became a team manager, and now I'm Director of Clinical Services.
28 years?
28 years.
I think you must like it there.
I do like it there. I do. And going back to what David said, he's right. We are very proud of our staff and our team. There's a reason we've been voted the best place to work in Kansas City and the best health nonprofit. And as David said, we do have the very best staff, and we're so very, very proud of them.
All right. So can you tell us more about some of the programs of Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care?
Sure. You know, Steve, I'm going to talk a little bit about for patients with a serious illness, whatever the diagnosis, we have what's called community-based palliative care, and that provides people with relief from symptoms, from pain, and frankly, the stress that they may be feeling. And this is really important. People feel better, and our families cope better, and frankly, patients may live longer if they're on palliative care. Patients may be receiving active care or not be ready, frankly, for or not ready, or maybe they're not appropriate for hospice just quite yet. So I'll give you just an example of the difference that this program can make. This is from a patient who wrote me a letter after actually I had talked with her sister, and her sister had explained what was going on. The letter she sent me just went on and explained the struggles that she was having with her swift progression of MS. Mm. And she explained a lot about her journey before being admitted to our community-based palliative care program. She was so grateful for the advanced practice nurse and for our RN manager, who both listened and were able to help her get resources that she needed based on her fatigue, her pain, her depression, and her confusion. Those were the words that she used. Hmm. And after a while on that program, she ultimately did transition to hospice. Her letter glowed about the team. And at the end of the letter, she said that her experience with us was so positive and she was so thankful. But she said she was comfortable that she has so much assistance as she enters the final stage of her circle of life.
Oh, wow.
And I just thought it's just a beautiful testament of what can be possible when you're facing such a serious illness.
And like you said, she wasn't ready for hospice, so it was the palliative care part,
right,
where you're managing the symptoms, you're bringing in a lot of resources, and you're improving the quality of life.
Yeah. And frankly, I think one of the things that struck me in the letter was just the team listened. They responded and they helped her.
Yeah, that is phenomenal. I can see how just getting the help for the patient and their family just can make a tremendous difference in the quality of someone's life when they're dealing with a serious illness. And with that lady, it was MS, and that's a devastating disease.
For
so
sure.
I can see that very clearly.
Right. And then when they're ready, our hospice care team provides people with the care and support they need if their disease progresses and their needs change. We're ready when they're ready. Our coordinated approach helps reduce their anxiety, which again increases both the quality and length of their lives, while also giving support to their family. We can provide hospice care at home. We can see people at long-term care facilities. We truly meet people where they are. For instance, one of the recent families we took care of came to us from Warrensburg, Missouri, more than an hour away. He was an Army veteran, married for 60 years. He was diagnosed with multiple myeloma in 2015, which is cancer of the white blood cells. Mm. The hospital let the family know they needed to find somewhere else for the patient to go, so they started searching and found Kansas City Hospice. The family wrote a letter about his care. It says so much about the kind, warm-hearted care he received from our staff. It said, "The kindness and compassion they showed my father was at a level I had never known. We knew we were in the right place for our father. They respected and treated him as if he was the most important person in the building."
That is phenomenal. What a beautiful transition when people need it, you know, to the level of hospice care. And I can see that your team takes care of the whole family. And frankly, I think a lot of people don't understand that. I mean, obviously you're there for the patient, but you're also just as important. You're there for the entire family. And I think a lot of people don't know that or understand it. And if they do, maybe it's undervalued or underappreciated until you're in the moment.
For sure. You know, Steve, sometimes people aren't comfortable dying at home. And that's something that makes Kansas City Hospice unique as well, because we have two hospice houses here in the city, in addition to providing hospice care in people's home or in long-term care. Those are the Kansas City Hospice House, which is at 120th and Warnell Road. It was the first in our city and also the state. And then the North Care Hospice House, which is located inside North Kansas City Hospital. And these spaces, if you haven't ever visited, they're peaceful, they're beautiful, they're very unlike a hospital. They're truly home-like atmospheres. They're havens for patients and families, as you mentioned, when the patient might need pain management, control of other symptoms, or around-the-clock nursing presence. And sometimes there's just a compelling reason that a family doesn't want their family member at home. There may be children, or they may be it might be, you know, more important that they die at a hospice house. And we really listen to what the wish is, and that's sometimes what people wish for.
Okay. And the hospice houses are just an amazing resource. And, you know, thanks for sharing that information. And so just to shift gears a little bit, what about children? And we generally think of hospice as a service or a need for someone who's older. But what about the children and the special care that they'll need?
Yes, you're right. Special skills and special hearts are definitely needed to care for kids with serious illness and their families. And we have that in our Carousel Pediatric Care Program. Our Carousel team is the only team in the region that does what they do. They're a group of highly trained, highly specialized physicians, nurses, social workers, chaplains, trained in both pediatrics and hospice. So the children receive extraordinary care, while their families receive extraordinary support. And speaking of that, one of our families on the Carousel program, unbelievably, has two children on our service.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Whoa.
112 and 119. They both have a rare disease that affects all of the nerves in their body.
Mm.
Their mom, Dawn, is a nurse. Our Carousel team steps in and cares for the kids so that mom can be a mom. But also, our team helps validate her concerns as a nurse as well. They're an advocate for her. The Carousel team of physicians and nurses and social workers, chaplains, they truly become an extension of the family when they're caring for the whole family. We hear this time and time again, how the carousel team becomes as close as family during the time spent caring for the child and the family. It's an amazing relationship.
Well, and you said something that really hit home. You said a lot, and it was great. But you said that your team steps in so that mom can be a mom.
Absolutely.
Right? You cannot put a price tag on that. That is literally invaluable. So we're speaking with David and Patty today from Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. If you'd like to reach out to KC Hospice, here's the phone number. Be sure to write it down, 816-363-2600. You could also go online at kchospice.org. And we'll have more from David and Patty coming up next. But first, the Senior Care Live question of the week. More than 60 children and their families received care from the Carousel program in the year 2022. Is that statement true or false? What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to SeniorCareLive.com. All right, back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. It's more of a statement. More than 60 children and their families received care from the Carousel program in 2022. Is that statement true or false? And the answer is true. The answer is true. And Patty, why is that statement true?
Well, we created the Carousel program back in 1989. So we have certainly experts in the field working in Carousel, and the need continues, unfortunately. This program is supplemented by a fund created by actor Eric Stone Street and his family, the Vincent A. Stone Street Fund, in memory of his father. Donations to the Stone Street Fund help ensure children's wishes are met. Their milestones are celebrated and memories are made.
1989, Kansas City Hospice is, I always gush about KC Hospice, but that's pioneering right there. 1989 for a pediatric hospice service and program right here in Kansas City.
For sure. I think, nobody wants to think about hospice and children, but when you need an expert, that's who we are, and it's really important, and our families are supported by the very best.
That is excellent. We're speaking with Mr. David Wiley and Patty Poor with Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. If this is resonating with you and you're thinking, well, wait a minute, maybe we should just get through the holidays and then maybe we'll reach out to KC Hospice, I would encourage you not to put this off. This will improve the life of your loved one and your entire family. I'm telling you, I would reach out right away if you think that you or your loved one would qualify for hospice or palliative care, at 816-363-2600 or online at kchospice.org. And David, I heard about a new concept that you're involved in. It's called the Giving Machine. I think I saw even a picture or two on social media. What is that all about?
Steve, it is super fun, and it's a new program for us this year, and we're excited to partner with Giving Machines Kansas City. And actually, these Giving Machines, they're giant, beautiful vending machines, mm-hmm. and they're at Kansas City's Union Station at 30 West Pershing Road in Kansas City, Missouri, which, Steve, there's really never a better time to be there than during the holidays. I mean, it is decorated and it's full of so much activity, the lights, just all of the things that they have down there. So
yeah, it's beautiful. It's just flat out beautiful. You want to get in the Christmas spirit,
yeah,
just go there.
For sure. The holidays definitely are kicked off down there. So, so let me ask you to close your eyes for a second.
Okay.
Steve, you do this too. And Patty, imagine just swiping your credit card, but instead of buying a soda or, a bag of chips or a bottle of water, you're actually making a donation to Kansas City Hospice. And that's what these giving machines are all about. It's truly that simple. And 100% of the donations come straight to us.
That's excellent.
And if you can't make it to Union Station, although like David mentioned, it's a beautiful time of year to visit there, you can also visit our website to donate. You can choose to support a variety of different programs like a daily wheelchair rental or our veteran recognition ceremonies, or just make a flat donation. And that website is kchospice.org/givingmachine. You'll see much more information there. Donations make all the difference for families in need of specialized care and supportive services, especially this time of year. As we see every year, the need in the community is growing, and programs like the Giving Machine help us be able to say yes to every family in need of care. I'd like to share just, you know, a story about a veteran. I love the veteran recognition ceremonies. I love to be able to go and be a part of those. We had a daughter send us a letter after her father passed, and she just gushed about how wonderful the vet recognition ceremony was for him. Mm-hmm. He said that since he had come home from Vietnam, he had not remembered ever being thanked for his service until we did our veteran recognition service.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was so meaningful, and just being able to do that for our veterans, it just means so much. And that's one of the items in the Giving Machine that you can swipe your credit card and then provide us the ability to do that for our vets.
Okay. See, so first of all, I love this. And as David, as I mentioned earlier off mic, my wife and I will be driving down there. I will have my credit card in hand. And I want to try this out. It sounds fun.
Yeah. It's super fun. And just like a variety of options in a vending machine, there's five different things that you can purchase from, whether it's funding one day of equipment for a family, or we do these really special porcelain hand impressions with our pediatric patients.
Oh, wow.
That's really a fun activity, but it's also, a lasting memory, mm-hmm. which is super important.
Yep.
You can fund medications which provide comfort, and, mm-hmm. That's super important. The vet ceremony, like Patty mentioned. And then one thing that's just, I don't know that people always realize, but there's an option to provide financial assistance. And mm-hmm. so our team of social workers and RNs and our chaplains, they come into the home, and sometimes, frankly, Steve, it's hard to imagine, but people just don't have food, or they might not have their heat working or their air conditioning working. And so I think the opportunity for people to help support that is just incredible. And we go above and beyond, and our donors help us and allow us to do that by giving us donations that we reserve and set aside, and then we fund those special needs during the year around financial assistance.
So I think I already know the answer, but let me ask, is that a requirement of a hospice provider, or is that just Kansas City Hospice going the next step?
It's really our ability to go above and beyond, Steve, and do the right thing and just take care of people in a great moment. And sometimes we pay rent, frankly. I mean, it has to happen, and we want them to be comfortable and in their home.
That's phenomenal. So when you make a donation to Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, this is what you're supporting, going above and beyond, not turning away any patient due to lack of payment source. Okay, that's what this is all about. kchospice.org/givingmachine, or just do what my wife and I will be doing here in the next 7 to 14 days. We're driving down. We're going to check this out. So, David, this Giving Machine sounds just incredible. How long will they be located down at the Union Station?
It kicked off in late November, and it's from now through January 1st. And I'm super glad that we talked about them. We're very excited to be part of the program. And, I just also want to just mention that, regarding all of our programs Patty and I spoke about earlier, home hospice, community-based palliative care, inpatient at our two hospice houses, our Carousel Pediatric Program, you can always find more information on our website. And as you mentioned earlier, it's kchospice.org, or certainly call us. We're happy to talk with anybody at any point in time at 816-363-2600.
All right. And a couple of things I got out of all of this. Hospice can be provided wherever you call home, whether that's in your house, your apartment, your assisted living apartment, your long-term care community. It can be provided anywhere. If you would prefer, you could also go to the hospice house. We have two different locations. You've got everything covered, and all of the donations through the Giving Machine or online or at any time throughout the year go directly to Kansas City Hospice to help those in our community. David and Patty, I am just so proud to know you. I just love everything that you do. I love your organization. Keep up the great work, and happy holidays.
Thanks, Steve. You too.
Thank you.
All right, we'll have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For podcasts of the program, go to SeniorCareLive.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so I was asked a question here recently. It's, Steve, how do you find a senior care community? I mean, there's so many places out there. And they all offer something different. And some of them are fancy. Some of them are a little more straightforward. Some of them are connected to other levels of care. Some of them are freestanding. How are you supposed to figure this out? And he said, Steve, I'm considering just bringing you in with Senior Care Consulting and getting some professional help. But if I want to give this a go on my own, how would I go about doing that? and he said, no offense. And I'm like, oh, hey, none taken. That's fine. Let me tell you about this. So what you don't want to do is the old shotgun approach where you just go out, you just run around, you look at any place that looks like a care community and run in and chit-chat with them and take a tour and all. You are wasting your time doing that. Absolutely wasting your time. In fact, that's why people are spending somewhere on an average of 50 to 100 hours going through that search and selection process if they're doing it on their own, because and they're doing the best that they know how to do. They just don't know exactly how to do this, and they're just spending a lot of unnecessary time. So I answered his question by, you might want to take some notes because I believe in the more focused, targeted rifle approach rather than the shotgun approach. So what to determine before ever beginning your search? And I brought you right up to it. Now I'm going to take a step back just for a second. Have you ever gone out house hunting? Did you just run around and look, go up and knock on the door of any house that has a for sale sign in the yard? Well, no, of course not. You knew the style of house, the age of the house, whether it was new or you wanted an older house or you wanted something that was built within the last, X years. You knew how many bedrooms you needed, how many bathrooms you wanted. You knew about how large of a yard you wanted. You knew what school district you wanted to be in, if that was important to you at the time. You knew what part of town you wanted to live in. You already knew all those things before, and you knew your budget. You knew how much you were willing to spend. You had kind of a bottom number, and then you had kind of a top number. We won't go past this. You knew all of that before even thinking about looking for a house. So that's what we're going to do here, except this is way more important than buying a house, because guess what else is involved in this other than in addition to the living environment? We have the whole factor of care. Care is being provided. Hands-on physical assistance, and sometimes the most intimate of care, for your mother, your father, your spouse, your grandparent, your aunt, uncle, people you love. This is way more difficult and way more important of a choice and of a selection than just buying a house. And that one's really, really important. Trust me, this one's even more important than that. So what to determine before beginning your search? Number one, what level of care do you need? Now, I like to relate this to licensure. So each place providing care is licensed in the state that they're doing business in, whether it's Kansas, Missouri, California, Texas, Florida, I mean, wherever you happen to be, each state is responsible for providing a license to any and all care providers, and then those providers have to be operating according to the rules and regulations attached to that license, and you have different levels. So the highest level of care that you could receive would be, I just call it long-term care. Some people call it the health center, skilled nursing. It goes on and on and on. A lot of people still refer to that as a nursing home, although people in the industry, they don't like that term because that comes with a lot of negative baggage, if you will, or stereotype. But that's long-term care. That's the highest level of care that you can receive unless you're in a hospital. Okay, so they can help out with all of your daily needs. They can help out with feeding tubes, wound care, diabetic management with insulin injection, ostomy care, catheter care. It goes on and on and on and on. So do you need long-term care? Do you need assisted living? And at the assisted living level of care, I've covered this many times on the program before, that's more of a social model. That long-term care is a medical model. That assisted living is a social model that provides a lot of support, but it's just not medically based, generally speaking. They can help you with your bathing, dressing, grooming. They can help you use the restroom. They can provide some incontinence care and support up to a point. They make all of your meals, snacks, and hydration. There's a full slate of activities for meaningful social engagement. They distribute your medications, super important. That is on the medical side of things. Doctors will make house calls to see you in your apartment. They provide transportation to take you out to see a specialist. So there's a lot of help there. Is that the level of care that you need? What about residential care? I would generally categorize that as kind of assisted living light, just kind of on the lighter side of that assisted living range. What about Home Plus? A lot of states don't have the licensure category of Home Plus. I know Kansas does. Missouri doesn't. They would just call it assisted living for a limited number of residents. But this is the assisted living level of care, I would say, generally speaking, on the higher end. But it's provided in a house, typically a ranch-style house, for up to 12 residents. So it's a small environment. Everyone eats together, family style, in a nice dining room. You can smell the cookies baking in the kitchen. That reminds you of home. They've got that home-like environment down because it's in a house. But it's an assisted living level of care provided in a small setting, literally in a house. Intermediate care facility is just like long-term care, but the one thing they don't offer in an intermediate care facility is that Medicare skilled nursing and rehab. They don't offer that, but everything else they do. So this can get a little crazy, a little complicated. But again, before you even think about beginning your search, you have to know what level of care you or your loved one will require. And again, I relate that to the licensure. Once you know that, then you have to determine what type of care do you need within that level of care? So now we're kind of peeling away the layers of the onions. There's a lot to deal with here. Again, if you want to do it right. If you want to spend 50 to 100 hours, just go around and look at all places in any place and try to figure that out. But I'm trying to help you out here. Okay, what type of care do you need? So I would say that just general care. That's just everyday general care at the long-term care level, assisted living level, et cetera, et cetera. Just meeting all your needs, just general care. A very special type of care that's in high demand, I would term that as memory care. Memory care is a special type of care for a resident with cognitive impairment. So do you need memory care? Maybe you don't need memory care today, but maybe you want to make sure they have memory care for that need that is pretty predictable at a later time if your loved one is in maybe the early stages of dementia. With my firm, Senior Care Consulting, I'm working currently with a number of families where their loved one has dementia, but they're really early on. But they're going to need some 24-hour oversight and supervision, a little bit of help with some of those activities of daily living. But they definitely don't need memory care yet. So we're moving them into an assisted living community that also has memory care so that when they need memory care, it could be 12, 18, 24 months from now. It could be 5 years from now. They can easily transition to the memory care portion of the community and not have to leave. Maybe you need skilled nursing and rehab or mental health care or hospice care or respite care. So those are the first two just major items to determine before ever beginning your search. What level of care do you need? And then what type of care will you require? And I'm going to finish all of this up coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more coming up.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have questions? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. All right, so back on the major discussion and issue on what to determine before ever beginning your search. If you figure out these things, it will cut your search time in half, and it will probably provide you a lot better results. Remember, the average or typical situation is a family will spend 50 to 100 hours running around looking at all these places, hearing all these different stories by all these different salespeople, and sometimes maybe you look at two assisted living facilities and you're hearing two different things. Well, it's highly possible that each place offers something a little bit different. And so that's some of the confusing part of this. So what level of care do you need? What type of care do you need? And then let's address the 800-pound elephant in the room. Oh, my goodness, how are we going to pay for this? Because it's all quite expensive, as you might imagine. And I'll tell you what, the costs have just been, man, they've just been going up and up and up here, especially recently, really skyrocketing. So if you hear the term private pay, that means that you are using your own resources to pay for the service. So you're writing a check, or you're paying electronically through a payment portal. So, but you're paying for that with your own resources. The big question, will Medicare help pay for some of these expenses? And very, very few. Okay, don't shoot the messenger here, but very few. They'll pay specifically for skilled nursing and rehab, post-hospitalization. Say you fracture a hip, you go to the hospital, your hip is replaced. Typically, and it's a very common situation, you go to skilled nursing and rehab, you're going to get 2 or 3, maybe 4 to 6 weeks of therapy to get you back up on your feet, get you used to walking with that new hip. And it takes some getting used to, but eventually you're strong, you've got your gait back, you're not stumbling, you're confident, and you feel good, and then you're able to go home. So Medicare will pay for that, the majority of the cost, if not all of the cost. But that's all they're going to pay for. They're not going to pay for your long-term stay in long-term care. They're definitely not going to pay for assisted living. But they will pay for that skilled nursing and rehab stay. Post-hospitalization, the maximum would be 100 days for a particular event. All right, what about Medicaid? Everyone seems to have heard of Medicaid. Well, what is that? How do you qualify for it? What will it pay for? Are there any gotchas in there? Right? I need to have an elder law attorney on the program here in the near future. I'll make sure that we get a quality elder law attorney in here to talk more in depth about Medicaid and some of those gotchas and how to avoid them. What about long-term care insurance? That's one way to pay for the high cost of senior care. I've worked with several clients here recently, and they were very pleased to discover that their mom or their dad, their parents, have invested in a long-term care insurance policy. And I've run into some Cadillac policies here lately that'll pay $250, $280, $300 a day for life. They are pretty well set with those policies. And they have their monthly income coming in, and they have some assets, and it's pretty predictable that they're probably not going to outlive their assets. And in fact, usually, well, in some cases, it would be impossible to outlive their assets. But that's because they have a premium super Cadillac. They don't even sell these things anymore. Lifetime benefit policies. What about the VA aid and attendance benefit? I'll tell you what, I had a call from a gentleman last week. I really enjoyed visiting with him. He was just such a neat guy. He called up and he said, "Steve, I listened to your show and I'm in this independent living place." And he said, I don't care how much money I have. He said, "I just think it's too darn expensive." Except he didn't say darn. I said, "Well, okay, let's talk about this." And as it turns out, his independent living cost per month was actually pretty reasonable compared to most. So that made him feel a little bit better, but not totally better. And so he was even thinking about maybe just moving into just a basic apartment. And so we talked about that. And I said, "Well, you can hire in some services." We just kind of did a little brainstorming. And he was just such a neat guy. And again, he's 97 years old. And I said, "Sir, are you a veteran?" He said, "Yes, sir. I served in he served in World War II." And he told me on what carrier and all this. Just really, really cool stuff. And I said, "First of all, thank you for your service. I want to tell you about a benefit that, when you need assisted living," and he doesn't need it right now, "but if you should need assisted living here at any time in the future, it will help pay you, over $2,200 a month to help pay for your assisted living cost." And so I connected him directly with the VFW, the national headquarters of the VFW. I gave him the phone number to call straight into that department. They will schedule an appointment with him and help him fill out that application. Now, you have to be receiving care and paying for care for that benefit to kick in. So he just wants to be prepared for that. And then when it comes to receiving and paying for care, then he's gonna send off that application and then start receiving that benefit. So maybe you or your loved one could qualify for the VA aid and attendance benefit. So again, we have to know the level of care, the type of care, and then how are we going to pay for the cost of care? And then location. Everyone wants to be close, but the question is, how far away are you willing to go for the best care? So we want to set up some parameters there. And then last but not least, any personal preferences and needs. Something very, very specific to you. And usually we don't have anything that specific, but sometimes we do. And if we do, we want to make sure that specific personal preference or need can be accommodated at this particular place. So once you go through all of that, and you determine your level of care, your type of care, your payment method, your location, and any very specific personal and preferences and needs that you may have, then and only then should you begin that search and calling places that fit that criteria, basically. Now, if that sounds a little overwhelming, that's because, frankly, it is. If it sounds confusing and complex, it is. If you want to avoid all of that and have my firm, Senior Care Consulting, handle all of that for you, I would invite you to reach out for a free consultation at 913-945-2800. You'd also visit online at seniorcareconsulting.com. We will handle all of that for you and make this search and selection process very simple for you and your family. All right, I'm Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week, right here on Senior Care Live.